verse 6 of 1 Samuel chapter 30. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I'm sure there's not a child of God who does not enjoy reading the life of David, son of Jesse, as it is given to us upon the pages of Holy Writ. Perhaps it is because we can, in so many ways, identify ourselves with David in so many aspects of his own life. Like Elijah, David was a man subject to like passions as we are. Especially in his Psalms, do we catch glimpses even of our own lives. We've often been identified with David in his times of sorrow. When he penned the words in Psalm 6 and verse 6, there he said, I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. How often, upon reading those words, have we said with David, David, I have lain on that bed. David, I have sat on that couch of tears. Have we not been able to identify ourselves even with David and his sin? But it seems that in his Psalms, David again and again and again laments his faults and his failings before the Lord. How often have we done exactly the same thing? We're so familiar with the words of Psalm 51. There in the opening three verses, we have David crying to the Lord in prayer, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before thee. Oh, how often have we come before God and have we cried to the Lord, Lord, wash me, cleanse me, blot out my transgressions. Once again, we have been identified with David. So often we see ourselves in David. Then have we not stood where David stood in his solitude? Like that time when David lamented, no man careth for my soul. There have been those times in life when we've been down in the valley And the dark clouds have been gathering. And we have lamented in our own hearts, no man careth for my soul. No one cares about me. Or knows anything about the burden that I am bearing. We know what David meant. He said in Psalm 102 and verse 7, I watch and am as a sparrow alone. Alone. Alone upon the housetop. And once more, we can identify with David. We have been where David has been. We have walked where David has walked. We have lain where David lay. And have we not also knelt with David in his supplications? Psalm 102 again. There in the opening verses, David cries, Hear my prayer, O Lord. And let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily. Dear believer, tonight, we've often been identified with David in our times of trouble. When we have said with David, Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. And as David said, penned the words in Psalm 10 and verse 1, Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself? In time of trouble. Dear believer, we have often felt as David felt. In our times of trouble, we have prayed, and it's as though God has hidden his face from us. It's as though the Lord has withdrawn himself. Indeed, at times we feel. Perhaps the Lord has turned his back upon us. But the Lord has only withdrawn himself and is standing somewhere in the shadows. We know tonight that our trust is in a sovereign God. When in our times of trouble we feel as though the Lord has hidden his face from us, there's a reason. There is always a reason. Nothing ever happens by chance. And there is a reason for the Lord withdrawing himself, just as there was a reason for his not answering that woman that came to him when he went to the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and she cried to the Lord that he might heal her daughter, and we read, he answered her not a word. He didn't answer her prayer. But if we're familiar with that incident and that passage of Scripture, we know that the Lord did not answer her plea and he did not answer her prayer for a reason. So there is a reason. For the Lord, as it were, hiding his face, for the Lord standing somewhere in the shadows in her time of trouble. Usually it is to try our faith. to make us stronger in the Lord, to strengthen our faith, and to make us better believers. Oh, we may not be able to see it at the time, but it's true. Isn't that what Job said? In the midst of his troubles, in the midst of his torments, in the midst of his sorrows, Job was able to say, He knows the way that I take, and when He has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I'll be a better child of God. When I go through the fires and the furnace of affliction, He knows all about me. He knows the way that I take. Oh, He might have hidden His face from me. He may have withdrawn into Himself, into the shadows, but He still knows the way that I take. Job says He's only trying. When He's finished trying me, I shall come forth as gold. The dross will be burned away, and I will be a better Christian. David's faith was severely tested in the incident which is before us tonight. What was David to do at such a time of trial? When he discovered that his home had been burned, his wives had been taken along with his children, and there he stood with nothing. What was he going to do? It was then that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Dear, the beloved tonight, we find our faith been tried and tested. When we stand where David stood that day, let us be identified with David again. And let us encourage ourselves in the Lord. Let us, as we consider these words in this text, let us first of all look upon David and his troubles. David encouraged himself in the Lord in his day of trouble. But David's troubles were very much of his own making. Once again, we're identified with David because so often our troubles are of our own making. Consider David and his location. We're told, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag, on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. How did David come to be there? How did he come to be in Ziklag? We must go back a few chapters to chapter 27. There in chapter 27, you read in the opening verse, and David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. He got his eyes off the Lord. He got his eyes off the Lord. He got his mind off God's word. For had David not already been anointed to be the next king of Israel? So why should he fear Saul? Hadn't God anointed him king? Wasn't he going to sit on the throne one day? That was God's plan. Then David, we read about him there, "There is nothing better for me than I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines." He shouldn't have been there. He went into the land of the Philistines, the very enemies of Israel, and the enemies of God, and the enemies of David. Went into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me and seek me any more in any coast of Israel, so shall I escape out of his hand. And then he went to Achish, king of Gath, and asked him for a plot of ground, and Achish gave him Ziklag. And it was Ziklag that the Amalekite turned. It was there at Ziklag that the Amalekites took away David's wives and his children. You see, David had taken matters into his own hands. When he was being pursued by Saul, he took things into his own hands when they've been far better to have in all his ways acknowledged the Lord, and the Lord would have directed his path. David was there at Ziklag, it was because of his own. David's troubles had come upon him because he had shut the Lord out of his decision making. Not only do we have his location, but note his losses. The lords of the Philistines had instructed Achish to tell David that it was time he left the land of the Philistines. We know that from chapter 29. Verse 3, "Then said the princes of the Philistines, what do these Hebrews here? And Achish said unto the princes of the Philistines, is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which hath been with me these days or these years, and I have found no fault in him since he fell unto me unto this day?" And the princes of the Philistines were wroth with him, and the princes of the Philistines said unto him, "Make this fellow return. Tell him to go." And so David leaves. And it is upon his return to Ziklag that he discovers what the Amalekites have. Just at that time that David encouraged himself in the Lord. At a time when he had suffered great loss, he had lost the city, he had lost his companions, he had lost his children. But even though David had suffered all these losses, there was one whom he had not lost. Not lost his Lord. And we read then that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Yes, he had failed to trust the Lord when Saul pursued him. Yes, he had failed to acknowledge the Lord and seek his will. But lo and behold, we discover the Lord is still with him. Dear believer, whatever the losses we may sustain in this life, we will never lose the Lord. And like David, we can encourage ourselves in the Lord in our times of loss. For there we have an encouragement. We are encouraged to know that the Lord will not leave us. That's an encouragement. It's an encouragement to know that He will never desert us. He will never abandon us. He's promised to be with us always. Even when we fail Him. Even when we disobey Him. Even when we falter. Even when we grieve Him. Yet He will never leave us. He'll always be with us. How Peter grieved the Lord when he denied the Savior with his oaths and curses. How the Lord was grieved. But did the Lord leave Peter? No. When the devil was seeking to sift Peter this week, the Lord was praying. Then you have his lament. Many tears were shed that day by David and his men when they discovered what had taken place. For we read in verse 4, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept. And they wept and they wept and they wept until they had no more power to weep. They'd come to that point. Yea, they'd come to the point of exhaustion. They had no more power. They had no strength left in them. Not even to shed another tear. Some people. It doesn't take much to make them weep. The tears seemed to flow, as it were, the drop of a hat. For some it's easy. But here's David, and he didn't even have the power, the strength, to weep any. He was at the point of exhaustion along with his men. And it was just then that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And I believe, dear child of God, we have been there at some time or another. We have been there at that point of exhaustion. We've come to that point where we feel in our own hearts, I cannot go on. I don't even have the power to weep. I cannot even muster enough strength to shed another tear. It was just then that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Believer, when we get to that point of exhaustion, we feel that we cannot go on. Let us encourage ourselves in the Lord. We may do so by considering the Lord's own experiences. Some foolish people, really they don't know what they're talking about, but I've heard them say that a Christian shouldn't weep over his or her troubles. They tell us that it is a sign of weakness and a lack of faith. Nonsense. Such people would not be much of an encouragement to us in our times of trouble, would they? Wouldn't like to go to them. Your time of trouble. You wouldn't get much encouragement. Thank God we can go to the Lord. That's where our encouragement lies. And we may encourage ourselves in the Lord our God when we consider the Lord's own experiences. For did the Lord Jesus Himself not weep? Of course He did. And that in itself is surely an encouragement to us. That when we weep, we are identifying ourselves with Christ, and He is identifying Himself with us. He went over His companion Lazarus as He stood outside His grave. We read Jesus wept. He went over His city Jerusalem when it came into view as He stood there on the Mount of Olives and cast an eye over the city, the golden city. His city, the city of David. And He wept over it. There in Gethsemane, He wept over His church. For Hebrews 5 and 7 tells us that He wept with strong crying and tears. Believer, let us encourage ourselves in the Lord by recalling the tears of Christ. When we are weeping, let us remember Christ wept. When you have some kind of trouble, someone comes along and they say, "Oh, I had that same trouble." We say to ourselves, "Well, that's not so bad. That doesn't make me feel so bad now to know that somebody else suffered the same thing. I don't feel just as bad now." My, how we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. We can encourage ourselves through our tears. For we know that Christ, He knew what it was like to have hot, bitter tears roll down His cheeks. We encourage ourselves in the Lord when we consider the Lord's exhortations. Has He not said to us, "Let not your heart be troubled"? Don't let it. To Mary at the tomb, resurrection morning, she'd gone there to search for her Lord. And when all others had left and the disciples had gone home, Mary remained. Suddenly a stranger appeared. She, supposing Him to be the gardener, said, "They have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have led Him." Then the Lord said, "Woman, why weepest thou?" And He spoke to her, called out her name, and said, "Mary." And she turned and said, "Rabboni." In that instant, the Lord wiped away all tears from her eyes. She stopped crying. That's what the Lord is able to do. He is the one who will wipe away all tears from our eyes. That ought to encourage us. But then we notice His loneliness. Perhaps David never felt as lonely as he did that day when he stood in the midst of the ashes of Ziklag. Look at verse 6. "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. They only had 600 men. But we're told here the people spake of stoning him. Every one of them turned against him. Because the soul of all the people was has grieved every man, all the people, every man, for his sons and for his daughters. Now there's David in the midst of a burned out Ziklag. And he looks around him, and he hasn't got a man who will stand with him. He hasn't got a man who will come in and put his arm around David and say, "All right, David, I'm with you. We'll battle through this together." No, there wasn't one. There's David in his loneliness. So he encouraged himself in that friend, in the Lord his God. Didn't know where else to go. Nowhere else to go but to the Lord. When many of the Lord's disciples went back and walked no more with him, the Lord challenged the 12 disciples that remained and said, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Nowhere to go. There's no one else to go to. Thou hast the words of eternal life." Dear child of God, there will be those times when every prop will be taken from us. Everything perhaps in this life that we've rested upon and leaned upon and received our support from, those things will be taken away. And there's nowhere else to go but to the Lord. And David had nowhere else to go. So he encouraged himself in the Lord. Isn't it good that the Lord was there for him? Good that he didn't have to turn to his men, because they were ready to stone him. They were not there for him, but the Lord was there for him. Believer, the Lord will always be there for us. So you have David and his troubles, and then you have David and his thoughts. It was in his thought, in his heart, that David went to the Lord as he did on other occasions. Psalm 45, verse 1. That psalm is all about the King, Christ the King. And the psalm begins with the word, with the words, "My heart is inditing a good matter." The word inditing means my heart is meditating. I'm thinking about a good matter, the good matter with Christ. It's simply meditating upon the Lord. And here in the midst of the ruins of Ziklag, David does the same again. He encourages himself in the Lord. He thinks about the Lord. He meditates upon the Lord. And here we see the preeminence of the Lord in the midst of David's troubles. Now we're told again, let's remind ourselves in verse 6, that David's men were thinking about stoning him just at that particular time. Were thinking about what they had lost. They were thinking about taking it out on David, thinking of stoning him. And then, as we read that verse 6, we have these words, "But David." There's that word of contrast. "But." No, David wasn't thinking along the same lines as his men were thinking. David was thinking upon the Lord, but David stood out from his man. He stood out from everybody else, it says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. It's the preeminence of the Lord in his life. David was different from all the others. His thoughts rose above their thoughts. His thoughts rose towards the very courts of heaven, to the one who was sitting upon the throne. And he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. O believer, let us encourage ourselves in the Lord. Let us ask the Lord to give us grace in such times of trial and testing, to give us grace to think about Christ, to be taken up with Christ, to meditate upon Him, even as the thoughts of Paul and Silas and that Philippian jail. Their thoughts rose above what they were suffering at that time. The blood rivering down their backs, they thought about the Lord and they sang praises unto the Lord. Encouraged themselves in the Lord. Not only do we have the preeminence of the Lord, we have the person of the Lord. For we read, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He spent his time thinking about his Lord and was encouraged. That encouraged him. Once he thought about his Lord, he was encouraged. Never fails. He could have thought about Saul, who was pursuing him. If he'd have thought about Saul, he would have been discouraged. He could have thought about the Philistines. If he'd have thought about the Philistines, he'd have been discouraged. He could have thought about his losses. If he'd have thought about his losses, he would have been discouraged. But no. He thought about the Lord and was encouraged. And when we meditate upon the Lord, when we think about Him, when we spend time thinking about the Lord, that encourages us. That lifts our hearts. It lifts our spirits. We could spend our time thinking about certain people, but we would not receive any encouragement from thinking about them. Think about the Lord. We are encouraged. Turn, please, to Philippians 4. Fourth chapter of Paul's epistle to the church at Philippi. And here we see that there were those at Philippi in the church there that had certain things upon their mind. Certain matters that greatly troubled them. Paul gives them this word. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. We have pointed out before those words, the Lord is at hand, simply mean the Lord is even at your elbow. The Lord's right beside you. He's at your hand. And then Paul goes on to say, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts, shall stand guard on your hearts, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good, and of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise. Think on these things. Think on these things. You see, the saints at Philippi were thinking about other things. They were thinking about those things that had troubled them. Paul says, think on these things. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good, virtuous. What was Paul really saying? He was really saying, think about Christ, because this is a description of Christ. Think on the Lord. When they would think upon the Lord, then they would be encouraged. Then you have the possession of the Lord. Not only do we read that David encouraged himself in the Lord, but we read also that he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. See, the Lord is still his God. Oh yes, he hadn't consulted the Lord when he was fleeing from Saul. He'd taken matters into his own hands, laid out his own plans. But the Lord was still his God. He was still the possession of the Lord. Dear child of God, the Lord is our God. He's ours. He's promised to be a father to the fatherless. He's promised to be a husband to the widow. And David himself said, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Because he is the Lord my God. Does that not encourage us? What an encouragement that is, to know the Lord is our God. We belong to Him, and He belongs to us. I am my beloved's, and He is mine. What an encouragement that is. And finally, David and his trial. David encouraged himself in the Lord and triumphed over his troubles. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. What was the result of David encouraging himself in the Lord? Well, we have it in the very text itself. Because the word encouraged, David encouraged himself in the Lord, the word encouraged may be translated strengthened. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. Remember? When he went with his men, he came to the point where he had no more power to weep. He was without strength. But then he encouraged himself in the Lord. He received strength. That's where we get our strength from. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And when we encourage ourselves in the Lord, we will be strengthened in mind, heart, spirit, soul, and faith. Not only do you have the result, you have the return. David, verse 7, and David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David, and David inquired of the Lord. He didn't do that over in chapter 27. And all that time he was away from the Lord, he was in the enemy's territory. But now, through the burning of Ziklag, David standing alone in the midst of a burned out city, David encouraged himself in the Lord, was forced to encourage himself in the Lord, and lo and behold, he returns to the Lord. See, there's always a reason. It was God's plan. He allowed it all to happen that he might bring his child back to the fold. And the rescue. David inquired of the Lord, verse 8, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And they answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them. And without fail, recover all. It was an encouragement, wasn't it? Without fail, recover all. The thing wasn't as bad as it first appeared. David thought he would never see his wives and his children again. It wasn't as bad as it appeared at first. Things are never as bad as they appear when we encourage ourselves in the Lord, our God. When we see things through Christ, and He recovered all. All because David encouraged himself in the Lord. He triumphed over his troubles. May we, when we find ourselves where David stood that day, in the midst of our troubles, may we identify ourselves with him again and encourage ourselves in the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Eternal, gracious, loving God, praise Thee that Thou art our God. Dear Lord, we bless Thee that even there in the midst of the sufferings of Calvary, our blessed Savior cried out, my God, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? We praise Thee, our Father, that Thou, through it all, through the darkness and the agonies and the desertion of Calvary, dear Father, Thou didst remain the God of our blessed Savior. And, O Lord, we know that in our lives, in our times of trouble and suffering, Thou wilt remain. Thou wilt remain our God. Thou will never cast us off, never leave us. Praise the Lord. Help us, our Father, to encourage ourselves in the Lord. May Thy word even have been an encouragement to us tonight. Dear Lord, as we now leave this house, write the word on our hearts. May we meditate upon it and meditate upon the Lord and encourage ourselves again tonight. For we ask these things in Thy name for Thy glory. Praying now that the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be our abiding portion now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away.
Amen.